Griezmann, el niño Torres. Hay campo para Griezmann, hay campo para Griezmann y veo gol. Y pinta bien, y pinta bien, y pinta bien, gol. ¡Gol!
Hello, 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 and welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com. A proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. I'm Jeremy Barron, the co-editor of Into the Calderon. You follow me on Twitter at JB Barron, joined again today by my fellow co-editor, Robbie Dunn.
Hello, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Doing well, Robbie.
Good.
Where can the good people of Twitter follow you?
Oh, at Bob Donadini. You'll find all my musings over there.
Sound. Yeah, quite a few things to discuss today. Even though there's a relative lack of activity, I still have a few things to discuss. The preseason has gotten underway for Atletico. Our lads are currently in Melbourne, Australia, for in preparation for a game against Tottenham Hotspur tomorrow. And we'll also discuss the erstwhile transfer speculation and a few other fun things. So, initial thoughts, Robbie?
I was going to say there, it depends on what you consider activity. There's... not to be pedantic, but there's always activity, but whether or not it's actually worth talking about is another thing. There's loads of speculation, there's loads of pre-season stuff, but whether or not it's actually activity that matters is another thing. But we'll have a chat about it and discuss it and try to figure it out, find out what it all means, delve into the meaning of life, football and whatnot.
Because they're very connected.
Yeah, right.
Definitely very interconnected.
Yeah.
Football is a microcosm of life. So let's get started here. As I mentioned, the preseason has gotten underway for Atletico Madrid. A 2-0 victory over Numancia.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the young players got a bit of a glimpse of life under Diego Simeone in this game. A 2-0 win, Fernando Torres scoring the opening goal and own goal early in the second half. It was initially credited to Vieto, but it was then changed to an own goal, the scoring in this game. I want to talk about the Torres goal first. What was better, the finish or the ball from Augusto Fernandez?
Yeah, was it Augusto that gave the ball? Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. I
a laser of a pass.
Yeah, it was really good. Oh, yeah, it was. You're right. Yeah, excellent, excellent. We've seen that from Fernando Torres countless times. I'm sure we're going to see it again countless times this year, that run off the shoulder. I mean, I was watching it and it was a weird game. Firstly, it was very difficult to find online, and I won't delve into how I did, but I eventually find it. But I was watching it, and
just in case anyone, the feds are listening.
Yeah, yeah, the FBI.
Don't want to keep that hidden.
The FBI are listening in here, or whatever. But it was very, and it was in Spanish, and it was the commentator was mixing up names. He kept calling them. Thomas Partey, I kept confusing names, and it was difficult, and it was a low camera angle and stuff like that, so it was quite difficult to, but other than that, Augusto come on, and a great ball in from for Torres. Torres looked okay. I mean, it's hard to discuss it, because it was so strange. Koke went off after, I mean, in the middle of the first half. Felipe Luis was quite good. Thomas Partey struggled to get into it, I thought. It was interesting, he played, Koke played in kind of like a shuttling between number 10 and that other midfielder, so I was, we were talking about him switching to 4-3-3, and it looked like Gabby was sitting as that deep lying midfielder with Thomas Partey out to the right, and then Koke just step forward to the left, and also going into number 10 then they'd switch to kind of a 4-2-3-1 then with the two wingers, and then Torres up front, and then drifting back into a more 4-3-3 when Koke did drop back. So yeah, it was interesting to watch, but really difficult to analyse, assess. Some of the younger players come on. I thought Theo Hernandez looked fabulous. He was he's really good, and I hadn't seen.
Yeah, it was really good to see Theo and Lucas out there, the brothers playing together.
Yeah, and they both looked very comfortable when they came on. Vieto actually looked very good, but he's looking frustrated. He got the goal or the assist or whatever you want to call it for the second, but he looked lively, and it's just a matter of that ball going into him. But he's gone now anyway, or looks like he's gone, and I'm sure we'll discuss that later. But yeah, it's very hard. We'll get a better look against Spurs as to what's going on, and better camera angle, stuff like that.
Bit more professional, and the game against Spurs is tomorrow, very early my time. Should be about late morning, I think mid morning or late morning your time.
I think they're 12:30 or somewhere around that. So
yeah, it's going to be like 3 a.m. my time. So
So,
I'll find a way though.
Yep, I'll sit up and watch it. All right, and figure it out. Because Pochettino is just singing Simeone's praises, and they're
as you should.
Yeah, and vice versa as well. Pochettino's obviously an excellent manager, and they're quite similar to each other in ways, and in the way they kind of operate and stuff. And they're both excellent managers, and a lot of respect for each other. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Pochettino maybe at Atletico one day, or Simeone maybe. No, maybe not at Spurs. I doubt that, but possibly. But it'll be interesting to see what way he plays, and I'm sure it'll be the first real chance for us to have a look at how Simeone is shaping up for the new season.
Definitely, I think our friends at Cartilage Free Captain won't like this, but Pochettino at Atletico would be very, very interesting. I have nothing but respect for him as a manager. I rate him very highly.
Yeah.
And the Spurs official Twitter account put a photo of Cholo and Pochettino on their account. Really, really nice photo. Cholo looks thrilled.
Yeah. I think
he's smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah. So, I think Claudio Ranieri. I think Claudio Ranieri actually tried to sign Pochettino for Atletico back in the day.
Did he? When he was back in '99.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but. Oh, he would have suited. He'd suit this Atletico down to the ground. That kind of intense and style and
absolutely.
But we'll have a look and see, and we'll be able to chat about it next week, I'm sure.
Several players not making the long, arduous trek to Australia. Among them is Luke Donavieto, and it looks like he's finally secured his move away from Atleti. Word is he has traveled to Germany for a medical with Sevilla as part of his proposed loan move to the Andalusian side. From the reports that we've seen, it's an initial 3 million euro fee and a buyback. I'm not sure there is a buyback option in it, but Sevilla have an option to buy for 20 million euros at any time during the deal.
Which could look like either way. Yeah, either way, it looks like Atletico are kind of... Because if he does perform to his ability, or how well we know he can play, they'll pay that 20 million with no problem. And if he doesn't, they won't, and then Atletico won't be as enthusiastic about welcoming back either. So it's kind of... I think the ball is in Sevilla's... Or Sevilla came out of this one better off. But if he shows glimpses for Sevilla next year... But not worth 20 million. Maybe Simeone might sit there and look at him and say, right, we will keep him, and we've seen enough to know that we can work with him or something like that. But if Sevilla be thinking the exact same thing, if they see glimpses and taking a look at the way the market's gone and money and stuff like that, 20 million is nothing for a 23 year old striker who kind of fits the Sampaoli model. It looks like Sevilla won on this one, I'd say.
Yeah, the ball's going to be in their court. And someone please correct me if I'm wrong in this. I did a little research the other day. I don't believe Sevilla have ever spent 20 million on a single player. I believe their record fee is 15 million.
For who?
Franco Vazquez this summer.
Okay, right, yeah. I'm not sure to be honest with you, but yeah, 20 million. That'll be next season, yeah. So it looks like
I've never paid that for any player, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. Hit me in my mentions if I'm wrong there,
It could go either ways for Sevilla now in the next year or two, because obviously they're trying to replace Unai Emery, and they found a man in Sampaoli, brilliant. But
who now wants to go manage Argentina?
Yeah, originally wanted Argentina, but then he's gonna. I mean, how long is he gonna? He said that he respects the contract, but how long is he gonna respect it for if Argentina come calling next year? Just before the World Cup, he's probably going to want to go there. It'll be interesting to see, and they might end up, because they're hoarding quite a few midfielders and things like that, and a lot of those players might have to be sold off under a new manager or might fit. So it's going to be interesting to watch them after having such security and consistency with Unai Emery, to see what direction it goes for them. So, but I'm sure this year, even at least, they'll be competitive and they'll be fighting for a top four place. And Andrew Gaffney there writes for Yahoo Sports, and he was chatting on Twitter and stuff. He just said that Yevhen Konoplyanka looks really good, and he does. I agree completely. He's going to be excellent this year. They look decent. But again, this isn't a Sevilla podcast, so let's get back to Atletico.
Yeah, a quick word on Konoplyanka, and he had a bit of a period of adjustment last year. He was linked with Atletico for a little bit last summer before ultimately making the move to the Pizjuan. I think he's going to be a key player for them too, assuming he stays.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So actually, we do have to stick with Sevilla for another minute, because it's time for the Kevin Gamero update.
All right. Yeah.
It's on the, I think, Marca's front page. Yeah, it's Marca's front page about how this is becoming a soap opera. Sevilla still wants to renew Gamero, according to the Madrid Daily. Not sure how true that is, because almost every other report says Gamero's move to Atletico is close. The two clubs are discussing a payment plan centered on a 30 million euro base fee plus 5 million in variables. So it looks like sooner or later this will happen. It doesn't look like it's going to get done before the end of July, but it looks like we're getting closer, finally.
I don't know what's going on with this one, because just like like and I know we put it to bed last Thursday when we recorded the Diego Costa thing. We put that to bed and said it was finished. Let's say goodbye, wrap it up, put it in a box, and send it off. But it's just kind of, everything seems to be kind of aligning towards, like, Costa called Simeone and told him to hold on, wait for him, and he'd figure out a move away from Stamford Bridge.
Apparently
as well, yeah, right.
And then after their game against Liverpool yesterday, there was an Instagram post that seemed kind of cryptic.
Yeah.
Not sure if that was, you know, Costa's English skills or if it was, you know, intentional.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, what does that...
Thank you for all my friends was the quote. And it had Fabregas was there, Willian was there, et cetera. And then he's also gone and changed his Instagram profile photo just to you know, add more fuels to fire.
Yeah, and I hate being those guys that talk about that stuff, but... Why isn't the Gamero thing done? If the valuation isn't budging, they know how much they want for him. It's not like they're trying to figure that out. Gamero said he'll move. Atletico need a striker, and are willing to spend that amount of money or close to it, and haven't been shy with spending money in the last year or two. Why isn't Gamero done? Well, what's holding it up? The club have a really good relationship. Kranovic are moving there and stuff. What's the problem here? And I think maybe there is, in the back of, just like every Atletico Madrid fan's head, there's a little bit of optimism in the back of Simeone's head, Cerezo's head, that Costa might get done, or that he might, because Antonio Conte come in, said, no, he's not leaving. And rightly so. I mean, they have every right to do that. He's their player, and they don't want to be bullied in the transfer market, being made look like they're a secondary club to someone like Atletico or someone. They'll keep a player, but they'll keep him and won't be bullied into a move. But if he doesn't want to be there, there was talk then of him handing in a transfer request, and if he doesn't want to be there, and we know that he can upset, like he can be a fiery individual and can upset training sessions if he doesn't like the way something's going. Antonio Conte is starting a brand new system after everything that went on at Chelsea last year, with Fabregas being referred to as a rat and a snake. And yep. All these problems going on in the training ground, Antonio Conte is going to want to start off fresh, and he's not going to want to keep Costa around if he doesn't want to be there, you know. Let's reopen the Diego Costa case, because it's weird.
Open on the table. It's not going away.
Yeah. It's just not, and
it's really not, and it won't go away until Atletico signs someone, whether it's him or it's Gamero or who knows who at this point. Yeah. Hal Robson Kanu.
Yeah, exactly. We just got that news, or that
we just got there. That from Wales Online says Hal Robson Kanu is going to talk to Atletico and Sevilla. This is great. Everything's great.
And they're
great.
Quoting Sky Sports, though. So,
oh dear God.
Yeah. So they're.
This is just great.
Yeah, but I mean, in reality, what can he bring to the table that Baston can't? Or, you know, I mean, it just seems silly.
But back to Costa for a second. It's tough, because does he really want to come back that badly? Will Chelsea even let him go? Is it worth it to offer 60 million euros for him, which has been the quoted price? You sold him for 40. Is he worth that much to you to spend more than 20 million more than you sold him for, when he didn't have a great season last year?
Yeah.
Even though he's still, you know, on his day a top drawer number 9.
Yeah.
But he did not have a great season, although no one at Chelsea did.
Yeah. I
personally don't think it's worth it to bring him back for 60. I love Diego Costa, but he's not Atletico's player anymore. And spending 60 on him,
60 million,
I'm not in favor of that.
60 million is a lot, but you have to, like, what we have to understand here is that what you're getting is not just someone who's going to, stylistically, he fits into what Simeone is doing perfectly. He's proven that. He's proven himself in Spain. Secondly, he gives Atletico that edge, that extra edge that Simeone needs and loves and wants in a player that Torres has, but Torres isn't where Costa's at anymore in terms of his level of play. So you're getting that. He fits in stylistically. He fits in on a personal level and his attitude. He obviously loves it there. He adds something to the squad. For 60 million, I agree, it is a bit pricey, but he's 27. He's in his, I refer to it as his Alexander Graham Bell year. That's the year Alexander Graham Bell invented the light bulb. So that's that is peak, brilliant. In other words. So he's 27. He's he fits into what's it, and I think the reason why he wants to come back is A, because he's probably impatient at Chelsea, and he realizes that it's going to take 2 or 3 years before they compete seriously for a Champions League, or maybe 2 years, whereas he thinks, and he's probably right, if he goes back to Atletico, they can seriously, he can right the wrongs of the last two Champions Leagues. He can also help them in La Liga, and he can, he can right those wrongs of the Champions League, basically. And he is the missing piece, and he probably feels like that. Probably feels like he didn't do himself justice in the final in 2014, and he feels like he has unfinished business there. So I can see why he wants to go back. All his friends are there, or I don't know. That's a kind of
He's gone back to Madrid on holiday and on international breaks. Since he's joined Chelsea just a few months ago. He was back.
Yeah, he just seems like And I think that's where the fans are getting it from, and that's where Cerezo is getting it from. They talk, and I said it last day that we talk like he's still our player, and he's still like, in a way, he's never given up on the Atletico Madrid dream either. Like, and in a way, he still feels like he never fully embedded in with Chelsea, and it's kind of like the Luis Suarez thing. Like, Luis Suarez was kind of run out of England almost, like, vilified to the point that he just felt so much happier. And look at him now in Barcelona. I mean, there's nothing written about Luis Suarez, really. Like, and fair enough.
No, that's a good point. Nothing at all.
And very little, I mean, other than when he scores goals. That's it. And, like, and whether that's a good or a bad thing in terms of the Spanish media, like, he hasn't really done anything wrong. So, but, and he seems happier in Spain, and it seems like Diego Costa is a very similar kind of a character, and he would just prefer to be in Madrid. And I think if he pushes hard enough, Chelsea and Conte and Abramovich will understand that, maybe, and without losing face, and if they can get 60 million, they'll take it, maybe, if it continues. But listen,
I mean, that's the key, if he pushes hard.
Yeah.
And
but we could be talking about Gamero signing tomorrow morning, and then that'll be the end of that, so.
Yeah, I mean, Gamero seems very close, and we talked about this on the first pod, but he's a good fit. He's dynamic, he's pacey, he's scored loads of goals, he's scored everywhere he's gone, he has European experience.
But he's 2 years older.
He is 29, but, you know, then again, you have guys like Adoriz for Athletic, who are 35 and scoring 35 goals.
And Fernando Torres is...
Fernando Torres has been reborn at Atletico.
Yeah, and he had an excellent year. And if it wasn't for that little slump in between the 99th and 100th goal, he had as good a year as he's had in the last, well, five or six.
Since he was at Liverpool.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Definitely at Liverpool. 2009, so, maybe.
I mean, he could be starting for Atletico this year. We don't know, but... yeah, we're going to have to wait and see, I guess, and it's kind of annoying, but that's just the way it is, a waiting game.
And my concerns with Costa, and then we'll wrap this section up, is, you know, the price is, to me, a bit exorbitant, even though, as we talked about, he provides qualities that Atletico can't really get anywhere else. Mm. The ferocity, the ability to get in other players' faces, a little bit of what Suarez does for Barcelona now.
Yeah.
And also his injury history.
Yeah,
he's
had balky
hamstrings for
since
2014, early 2014. He's
that is a
had
concern.
Troublesome hamstrings. If Profe Ortega can't fix it, then who can?
Yeah, not
if El Profe can't get him right, then who's going to get him right?
Atletico are kind of like the Borussia Dortmund of Spain. Like, Dortmund seem to all these players leaving and then just coming back, or else failing in other, like, Nuri Sahin and Götze, and who else came back to them there? Like, just players that...
They got Shirley.
Oh, yeah, they got Shirley, yeah. But just players come back. It's like Atletico, Felipe Luis, Arda Turan just did not work out at Barcelona, and doesn't seem like he's even wanted anywhere. Costas wants to come back. Courtois never really fully settled at Chelsea either. So.
Falcao,
yeah, he hasn't done anything since he left Atletico.
Breaks my heart, Robbie.
Aguero's been no good since he left Atletico.
Yeah, he's only won the Premier League twice.
Dekea, he's not even the best in the world, he's second.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What a stiff.
Yeah, but, so...
Yeah, and you wrote about this a few months ago. Leaving Atletico is a very difficult thing to do because of the sentiment and because, you know, players tend to not regain their form.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than Aguero, of course, De Gea has become one of the best in the world.
Yeah, and it's a very specific style that Simeone plays. And I know we're in an age now of complete cynicism towards the jerseys and towards stuff like that and But Simeone builds something special there, and you do feel a part of it. Even the likes of players that left, like Mandzukic, talked to Sime Versalco and told him how good it was, how excellent it was. And then you got the likes of Mario Suarez, who was pushed out of Atletico, and he still spoke really well about it. It's like a weird cult or something, do you know what I mean? And I mean in a good way, like, and yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. So adapting to a different system with a manager who might not be as intense and demand as much from you is a little bit it's probably difficult for players. So yeah, I've got a column coming out. I'm going to write something next week about Griezmann and how he needs to maybe do something this year. He doesn't want his legacy at Atletico being the lost final and two failed La Liga bids and no Copa del Rey. And so I mean, he's it's important for him next year to step up and maybe take the bull by the horns, you know what I mean? Because
yep. It's a very scary possibility that this golden era is, you know, the never men,
yeah,
the era of being second, just coming up short.
Exactly, yeah.
It looked like it would finally happen in May. It didn't.
Yeah.
There's always next year, the year after. Atletico have so many young players and a transfer policy that will continue to embolden them in the market for younger players. But how many more chances are you going to get? And that's a very scary possibility. We don't like talking about it, but we will talk about it.
Mm. And you're seen as a traitor of some kind if you talk about Simeone leaving and Griezmann leaving. But realistically, like, I mean, how long more? Like, probably 1-2 years of Griezmann left, if that. 1-2 years left of Simeone, and then
I think they need Griezmann for 2 more years. They need him. Obviously, they're going to keep him this year, and then they need to keep him for the first year of the new stadium, because they're going to be under transfer ban. And if they lose him next summer, they're screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you going to replace him with? With Simeone, he was talking today in his press conference in Melbourne about potentially managing in England. Everyone knows he wants to go back to Italy. Everyone knows he wants to manage Inter at some point. Zanetti was talking about it the other day. At some point, Simeone will manage Inter. I think everyone knows that. But he was talking about managing in the Premier League. It's becoming a bit more real that this is going to end at some point. And Simeone is already Atletico's version of Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex, because he's been in La Liga longer than any other manager in Spain.
Yeah.
He's been there now. It'll be 5 years in December.
Yeah. He's
Maybe he's even looking across the continent. He's even looking at different jobs and other horizons.
Yeah, like, I mean, and he spoke. I know he spoke after the Champions League final and said he had to assess the situation and things, and came out then and said that it was in the heat of the moment. But he has referred to that as being like a death, is what he said. And I mean, he's. Yeah, he wants to win something with Atletico before he leaves, and he's won plenty during his spell as it is, but he doesn't want to leave on that note. But if he has to, then he will have to, you know. And I mean, Argentina came looking for him, and I'd say he'd absolutely love that job before maybe Messi retires and things like that. But
Argentina are just broke right now. He can't go there now. He knows that.
Yeah, probably.
They have no cash, and the squad is in a state of upheaval, complete upheaval.
Mm. Yeah. So maybe in the next few years he might go and chance his arm in England. But I think Sid Lowe was saying I don't think he speaks. I mean, Dermot Corrigan, but he was saying, I'm not entirely sure. He might have been getting lessons or something, but and not that that's a massive stumbling block anymore with translators and. He could take languages and stuff, or the classes, but he doesn't really speak English, and it's not.
I don't think he does at all. I don't think he speaks any English.
Yeah, it's not way up there in his list of priorities, and it's not something that. But I'm sure if the right opportunity presented itself, and with all the competition in the Premier League at the moment, he wants to go there and test himself against the best. So, if the right opportunity came along, he might consider it. But he definitely doesn't want his legacy to be. The never man, as you said, so
of coming up just short. And at any rate, he has a contract till 2020.
Yeah,
he has a buyout of 15 million euros, which, you know, not many clubs are going to pay for a manager, even as great a manager as Simeone is.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. He's going to be on board at least for this year and probably next year as well.
Yeah.
We talked about new horizons and looking to the future. Atletico are definitely doing that, and they're also doing it in terms of their new stadium. The most interesting comment we got as part of our mailbag this week was about La Pineta and the developments going on there. And I've been meaning to write about it, but there are a lot of thoughts that go into it. Emotionally, factually, it's a very complex situation. Atleti are moving. They're moving to the stadium. It kind of is in Real Madrid territory, La Pineta. Yeah. A lot of Madrid fans around there. But it's a huge stadium, 70,000-seater. In case you don't know, we'll just go through the general facts. La Pineta was built in the 1980s. It's the official title is the Olympic Stadium, of Madrid. 70,000 seats. The club has released several, visualizations of the stadium. It looks gorgeous. It's going to be a gorgeous stadium, the third largest stadium, second largest stadium in Spain. Second or third? Third, I think, behind Camp Nou and the Bernabeu. It'll be third largest, but it looks beautiful. Season ticket sales are already underway. It does not have a name right now. It's just being referred to. The club's Twitter account is referring to it as Nuevo Estadio, New Stadium. But yeah. Unofficially, it's known as Estadio La Pineta. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a honeycomb.
I think they were saying that it was like a pressure cooker with a lid.
Yeah.
And that it was going to create all merciful noise levels inside the stadium.
They're trying to design it so that it keeps noise inwards. They're trying to design the roof or the sides of it so that it keeps noise buried inwards. So kind of replicating the feel of the Calderon, obviously not the Calderon, but
and they want the fans to be particularly close to the pitch. They're going to be like just 5 meters away, so that's really close.
Yes, and very important.
Yeah. And yeah, because it was on their website, the Cruz ERTs, they're the architects, and they look like the pretty slick website they've got it over there, and some nice projects. So just looking at it, yeah, and like you were saying, there's no name on it yet, but they were thinking maybe calling it by the name of a player,
Luis Aragonés,
something like that. They were going to do that, but then looks like it probably won't be named after a player, but they were thinking about that and thinking about what players and stuff like that, you know. But yeah,
Aragonés would obviously be at top of the list.
Yeah, top of the list. Yeah.
I think it'll be named after a sponsor. The Wanda Group from China has a 20% stake in Atletico.
Yeah.
Certainly possible to name it after the Wanda Group. The Etihad is an outside possibility as well, but they'll it'll be exciting following the names.
Yeah. Because we were asked, like, in terms of an update, the problem was that the Mau, the beer in Spain, the Mau brewery is over there beside the Calderon, and the Atletico own all that area, and they were using the money from that to fund a new stadium, and they were going to put up two big towers, but the towers were beyond the height restriction and weren't being allowed to demolish the Calderon and the brewery and build the towers, so that was stalled.
Which seems pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? Height restrictions. You're building too tall. Like, really?
Yeah, but that's a real European thing. Like in Ireland, like we have no, and I know that in America they're massive, but in the likes of Madrid, like the Madrid have the four towers are their tallest, and they're not even that tall compared to what you'd see in America. And in Dublin, Ireland, it's absolutely, there's nothing. Anyway,
it's definitely the American in me talking, but that was the height restrictions for I believe they were apartment buildings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Were it getting in the way.
Yeah.
But finally, there was a ruling. Atletico and the other parties finally got together and got to a deal. They reached a deal to where the buildings were an acceptable height. The city signed off on it. So the Calderon is going to be demolished.
Demolished.
And that's a very difficult thing to say. It's going to be a very difficult thing to see. as well. And yeah. Atletico are moving in less than a year, and it's going to be extremely emotional. The Calderon has been Atletico's home since 1966. It's seen some of the greatest games and the greatest triumphs in the club's history, the club's long, long history. It's a stadium that's unlike any other in Europe. It's the, you know, Pep Guardiola talked about this just a few months ago, how it's bar none the best ambiance, the best atmosphere in Europe. And nothing, for me, nothing really, really comes close. The Allianz Arena is a really tough place to go. Juventus Stadium is a very tough place to play. But neither of those places is like the Calderon. And it's only a 50-year-old stadium. It's not that old. That said, it's been in need of upgrades for a while. Part of what makes it so charming is that it is an old, beat-up stadium, next to a brewery on the banks of the Manzanares. It's been in need of a renovation for a long time, and Atletico decided several years ago to forego the renovations and just renovate La Pineta, get huge investments in it, and renovate La Pineta on the outskirts of the city.
Massive seating capacity and.
You can get 20,000 more seats. The Calderon can't be expanded to 70,000. Pineta can.
And there's all kinds of amenities like food vendors and stalls for that. And there's
VIP suites.
VIP, new VIP suites, new like a playground or something mentioned at the back of the stands, and a fan zone kind of like where you can go and I suppose get your picture taken with your head in the Atletico Madrid players. Those weird things, what are they called?
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name. Like you stick your head in like the poster board.
Yeah.
And you look like you're like you have Griezmann's body.
Yeah,
but you stick your head in it and you're Antoine Griezmann for a few seconds.
I'd actually be very
cool.
Surprised if there was a word in the dictionary for that kind of thing.
I'm sure there is.
Do you think so?
Well, but neither of us can think of it. If you guys know what it is, send us a tweet. send us a tweet if you know it.
I can't even imagine what. Maybe there's like a German word for it, and it's some cool German word. Like a Flügelbinder. Is that German? Do you know a Flügelbinder? Do you know what that is, no?
No, what is it?
It's like the little plastic thing at the top of your lace that keeps it.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're called.
Yeah, like a Flügelbinder or something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's...
You learn something every day.
You do.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's...
I will tell someone about that today.
Do.
On my travels.
Spread your wisdom and knowledge, Jeremy. To the world.
Gracias, Robbie. Muchas gracias. Wow.
But, I digress. We digress.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The new stadium, again, we don't know who the sponsor is going to be. It might be the Wanda Group. I think it was Juan Gato who mentioned the Etihad. So let's put that to the side.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Juan Gato is, he's kind of Atletico's equivalent of Tancredi Palmieri, but just for Atletico. Ridiculous transfer rumors. He was the guy who said Royce Rojiblanco ad infinitum 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And obviously we never got Marco Royce. So if you see anything from Juan Gato, don't read it.
Yeah.
But in terms of the club's revenue and the club's continued growth as one of the elite clubs in Europe, the new stadium is important. It's going to put them in terms of capacity, in terms of amenities, in terms, as you said, amenities, and in terms of just what a new stadium can offer, a new state-of-the-art stadium can offer. It'll put Atletico on par with teams like Bayern, teams like Juventus, the English teams. Who have state-of-the-art, huge stadiums. But Atletico are going to lose something by moving away from the Calderon and demolishing the Calderon. They're going to lose something. First of all, we have to change the name of the blog.
Yeah. Oh, no, we can keep it. It's like retrograde. in 20 years' time when we're still going strong and all these new fans and new people come in, they're like, why are they called that? And we'll have to tell them, listen. A long, long time ago, by the banks of the Manzanares, there's a little place that Atletico played in called the. I'm gonna go on and tell them about that. So
we'll make a song about it.
Yeah, right.
but they will lose something by being in the Calderon. There isn't a place in Europe that replicates it in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of the charm of it. Mm-hmm. It's a beat up old stadium, but it's not terribly old. But how much can you renovate it?
Yeah.
How practical is it to stay there long term? Of course, I would prefer Atletico stayed there. The Calderon is I'm never going to get to see it, which just kills me every day. But it's majestic in its way. The new stadium is going to be majestic, you know, yeah. Based on just how it looks, the splendor of a new stadium. It's exciting being in a new stadium. But it's also exciting being at the Calderon and watching, you know, big European nights at the Calderon, seeing the Tifos unveiled, you know, right before the Champions League anthem.
Lovely stuff.
It's beautiful. Brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the Tifo they unveiled before the first leg against Bayern Munich, I think is my favorite one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance the Tifos are even bigger because you have more seats.
Yeah, yeah,
20,000 more seats at La Pineta, but it's not going to be the same. And in a perfect world, Atletico would not move and would renovate the Calderon and would stay there. But it's not going to happen. And La Pineta will be great in its own way. It'll be exciting. It should be pretty noisy based on the architectural design. But you know, it's going to be the third largest stadium in La Liga, 20,000 more seats than Vicente Calderon.
It all points towards Atletico becoming a major player in Europe and La Liga for.
And that's important. It's going to give them. It's going to bring in a lot more money.
And I think that's their goal and that's their aim is to eventually compete with Real and Barcelona. And to remain competitive in the Champions League, bring in top players, bring in a top manager in place of Simeone whenever it is he does leave. And I think having that kind of a stadium and investing that kind of money and will help that. You know what I mean? And it will help their interests. So we'll see. And look at anything that breaks up the duopoly of Real and Barcelona is a good thing for La Liga, in my opinion. And
especially if it's Atletico that does it.
Yeah, and then the new TV deal that's not entirely split evenly or anything, but it's a lot better than what it was, will help also. And it seems like La Liga is just getting more competitive by the year, and that's. It's a good thing, in my opinion.
It's a very good thing. With the new TV deal, it's going to mean things are a little more balanced.
Mm.
Considering things were totally imbalanced, it's going to be a little more balanced, which is, you know.
And Spanish teams, and Spanish teams can at least match some of the Premier League offers that they're given. Because, like, say, a player from, let's just say, Valencia, who would be a top six team in La Liga over the course of 8 to 10 years or whatever, going to a team like Sunderland, who are in the bottom five of the Premier League, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, but Sunderland have more money. They'll at least be able to match those offers now, keep some of their better players maybe, and be just that little bit more competitive and stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, the teams at the bottom of the Premier League generate more revenue than Atletico do.
Yeah.
Other than the top two teams, everyone else in the Premier League, even teams like Villa that got relegated, still generate more revenue.
Oh,
there's something
incredible.
Intrinsically wrong with that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, Spain. We love you, but you're crazy. So we do have a couple more things to discuss. This is really apropos of nothing, but I was thinking about it the other day. I want to talk about Saul and how bloody awesome he is.
Oh, he's absolutely excellent.
Oh, he's outstanding. I love him so much. He's got the number 8 shirt this year, which is obviously a very famous shirt at Atletico. You know, most clubs, you know, have the number 10 shirt. Atletico have the number 8 shirt. Luis Aragonés wore it. Should be enough said. Raul García also wore it. And we love RG8. We love him with all our heart, even though he's at Athletic now.
Yeah.
But Saul getting the number 8 shirt is just emblematic of how far he's come at the club. You know, he was at Almeria. He was playing center back at Almeria the year Atletico won the league. And now he's scoring goals like that in the Champions League.
Hmm.
And he's an absolutely immense player and a critical part of the team. And he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
He's tied down to a new deal. He can do just about everything in midfield. He can play anywhere. Incredibly versatile. He can play as a number 10. Can play as a shield in front of the back four.
He played...
just incredible.
Yeah, he played centre back against Numancia, and he was he did his job, and he wasn't tested too much, but he was good. He was good coming out with the ball and stuff. He probably took too many risks, and he's got that kind of ball playing instinct, and he wants to take chances, and he wants to pass the ball on the ground and stuff, and. He was good in the centre. He's tall enough to play there. He's got defensive capability, and he's really good. But yeah, versatile. He's actually quite similar in ways to Paul Pogba in that he's got so much energy bursting forward. Is his thing. Like, it's his one really good. It's quality, and he can defend. He can score, as we've seen. He can dribble. He can pass the ball.
He can tackle interceptions.
He really does it all.
He really can do anything. And that's actually a good point. The game against Numancia, he did play center back, and then he played as number 10 later in the game.
Yeah.
Which is just incredible. Even though it's preseason against Numancia, it's still pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, and I mean,
he's only going to get better, which is frightening. How much better can he get?
His influence is just going to continue to grow at Atletico, and you know, over the next 2 years, we are going to see him being on par, maybe with the likes of Paul Pogba or someone like that. You know,
I think he already is, honestly.
Excellent.
Pogba's awesome. He could accept. Saul doesn't cost 120 million.
Yeah. Not as flashy and not as I don't know what that is. He's just not as. What's the word I'm looking for? Not as glamorous, maybe, as Pogba.
Glamorous is a good word for it. I mean, he has the hairstyles that Pogba has.
He
I don't think he has quite the relationship. You know, Pogba and Griezmann are really tight. Pogba and Antoine have a really great relationship. Mm. They're like brothers. They were playing basketball with former NFL player Chad Johnson the other day, which was hilarious. Griezmann's just having the best vacation.
Yeah, it looks
this
like
this is a man who's lost 2 finals in 6 weeks, and he's out there playing basketball with Chad Johnson.
Why is that? That so many, and we can discuss this another time, but I wonder why that is that I know Chad Ochocinco is NFL, but why is it that so many players, the NBA and football or soccer, have such a connection there? I wonder what that is.
Especially the NBA, because Antoine was also with DeMarcus Cousins, NBA player for the Sacramento Kings. He also had his picture taken with him. Got a shoe that looked like it could fit across his entire body.
Cousins
is obviously 7 feet tall or thereabouts. Yeah,
you always see like the Kobe Bryant with someone or like
Kobe's been around.
I wonder what that is. It's weird, but yeah, it's an interesting one to think about.
His name is Chad Ochocinco now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he changed.
I think he did legally change it. Yeah, my bad.
He definitely legally changed it, but whether he changed it back or not is another thing.
Yeah, that's mea culpa.
We'll clarify that for you on our Twitter account when we check his.
Yes. So there's one other thing I want to talk about today, kind of sticking in the spirit of fun and games. Who has the best hair on Atletico Madrid? Who has the worst hair? Best three hairstyles, worst three hairstyles. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, best. Torres is probably up there. But see, it depends on what you're looking for in a haircut, because like Carrasco's is good, but it's the same as everyone else's. And Jimenez is grand, but it's the same as everyone else's. It's a really interesting one. Maybe not interesting, but it's a fun one. Who do we have? That's that new style of those younger kids are wearing with the kind of... Lucas Hernandez has it. I, to be honest with you, who's in the middle? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go with Thiago Mendes is my number one.
Understated, but classic.
Yeah, classic, that's what I'm going for. Classic. That's what I'm going for.
So he's got the best in your mind.
Yeah, just as classic, and it's just never going to go out of style. Wake me up, knock me out, and wake me up in 10 years, and Thiago still has the same haircut, and that'll still be cool. Whereas you look at maybe the likes of Carrasco in 10 years' time, and you say, that's weird.
Yeah, you're basing it more on future potential rather than living in the now. Very, very interesting. Very interesting philosophy.
Yeah, with Thiago for me.
So Thiago's got the best one. For me...
Are you taking notes on this? Are you writing that down?
I'm taking a mental note.
It's very important. That's how I judge whether I'm friends with people or not. How they think about hairstyles. But so go ahead. Who was yours?
This is a tough one. I like what Thomas has done this summer. Because he's gotten pretty crazy. Last year he was kind of conservative with his hairstyle. But he's got, I think it's a mutated dreadlocks going now. I really like what Thomas has done with his hair.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
I think it's brilliant.
Yep.
This is actually a tough decision. Because we do have quite a few really good hairstyles in the squad. You know, if we had talked about this a year ago, I would have said Griezmann because he had the platinum blonde thing going.
Yeah.
Which was quite an interesting look. I looked like that for a few months, actually.
I think Griezmann's a trendsetter. Once something kind of comes in and he'll have it, he'll change. He wants to be different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now he looks kind of, I don't want to say normal because what's normal, but he looks... It's not wild. It's not as wild as it was.
Yeah, yeah.
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's between Carrasco and Josema and Jimenez.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Carrasco. Carrasco's hair is just brilliant.
Yeah.
It looks so perfect. Enrique Cerezo isn't the player, but his hair has never moved in his life. I don't think his hair has ever moved.
Simeone isn't bad.
Yeah, he doesn't really have the slick back gel look anymore. He's kind of just let it go.
He shaved, and he looks a lot younger. And he also, he was wearing kind of sporty ensemble against Numancia. So he was very, very different. Yeah, he looked cool.
Yeah, he is so fit. Like, I want to look like him at 46.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, he's just so in shape. But for me, it's Carrasco who has the best hair, followed by Josema and... Probably Griezmann. And Griezmann, he's still got the look.
I'm going with Thiago, Jan Oblak, and Juan Fran.
Yeah, you're really, you know, maximizing future potential here.
No, I just think, I just kind of worry that those styles are going to be gone soon. And like, how can you, I don't know, how can you, it's the same as everyone's. They're all the same.
It's that damn millennial look.
Yeah, right.
But I like it. I appreciate it. And I think it gives a lot of personality to the squad. And also, it still is amazing to me how Enrique Cerezo's hair does not move. Just amazing. Well, that'll just about do it for us. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon. You can follow my personal account at JB Barron. Follow Robbie at Bob Donadini. Like us on Facebook. So until next time, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Robbie. Adios.
And we'll catch you next time.